When I was about 8 years old, my folks had a, seemed to me to be a large two-story house out in the country. And my father and mother were always rescuing strays. And when I say rescuing strays, I really mean what they were doing was reaching out to the lowly and downhearted and basically those who just had difficulty dealing with life and lacked coping skills, I guess. I remember my mother came to me and she said, "We're bringing a little girl over here to live with us for a little while. And I want you to take good care of her. I want you to look after her like she was your little sister." And so I said, "Sure, Mama." Well, we had already had people living at the house that were sort of, I don't know if you call them vagrants. One guy was straight out of Vietnam and suffered from PTSD. Another girl was somebody from out California way. And my mom and dad gave him a place to live. I don't know if they ever charged him or not, but this particular little girl, she came to us through the law enforcement that had rescued her. And she was only 6 years old. She's just a couple years younger than me. And she had dark black hair, and it was long, about the just below her shoulders, and it was straight. And of course, when I saw her, she looked a little different. I was the youngest of five brothers, so I never had a little brother or a little sister, and I was tickled to death to get a little sister. And I thought that the mandate my mother had given me to watch after her and keep her safe, I took very seriously. It seems that this little girl had been living under a trailer, a single wide ratty trailer in the woods, not so far out that they didn't have neighbors. Her mom, a single mom with a boyfriend, decided she wanted to leave and go out of town with her boyfriend, but she didn't want to take the little girl because the boyfriend didn't like her. She sort of cramped her style. And so they decided to leave her at the trailer. Little girl woke up with nobody home. And of course, 6 years old, she's terrified. And she's not really sure how to feed herself, but she knows what she likes. And she goes through all the food that she's eaten. Several days go by in a week. She runs out of food and she goes to one of the neighbors and begs for food, and they shoo her away. She goes under the trailer where the dog was, and she's eating dog food and sleeping with the dog at night and wandering during the day around the neighborhood. Finally, one of the neighbors gets tired of her asking for food, made the comment, "She's not my child, it's not my responsibility." And so the police were called. And the police knew my parents, and they knew my father very well. So they called him and asked him if he had room for a little girl. I guess in all practical purposes, my dad was a foster parent. When they brought her to us, her hair was matted. She had fleas, lice. She was dirty. She smelled of a dog. She's very scared. Her eyes were wide open. She was terrified. And I remember my mom taking her upstairs to the bathroom and running a warm bath for her and cleaned her up and brushed her hair and blow-dried it, put some perfume on her and made her smell good. Gave her a toothbrush and showed her how to brush her teeth. She bought her a little robe. She put that little robe on and slippers. She came down the stairs. She had a big smile on her face. And that was my little sister. And I loved her like a big brother would. And I asked my mom what happened to her. She told me a little bit about it, but not all the details. I didn't learn those till I was an adult. And I was just heartbroken. How could anyone treat this precious child like that? So I took my mandate to protect her very seriously, and we played together, and we even slept together. And she would snuggle up to me at night, and sometimes I'd hear her whimpering, and I'd wake her up and I'd say, it's okay, I'm right here. She'd smile and the lies would roll back in her head and she'd go back to sleep. I don't really remember how long she was with us, but I remember my mother coming to me one day. She'd been there a while, long enough that I'd grown an attachment to her. And my mother came to me and she said, she's going home. And I didn't understand, because this was her home. This was where she lived. This was her family now. And I said, where is she going? And she said, she's going back with her mom. And I couldn't understand for the life of me why she would be allowed to have her back. In my little 8-year-old mind, she lost that right. Or privilege, really. And I told my mom, I said, I don't understand. What if she does this to her again? She said, well, she's promised not to do that again. And she's working in, with the court system in there, getting her the counseling that she needs. And I still could not understand how you could let her go. You told me to protect her. And so my protective instincts kicked in, and I went and found her, and I said, come with me quickly, we have to hide you. And I took her downstairs, the living room, and I opened up the closet door and I put her in there and I said, don't make a sound. Don't come out no matter what. Just stay there. I pulled the clothes that were hanging up in the vacuum cleaner and hid her behind it. And I shut the door. I was a good kid. I never defied my parents. Not on purpose. But I meant they weren't taking her back. She stayed in that closet and she didn't make a sound. I remember the policeman coming to the door. And my mom and dad said, where is she? And I started crying and I said, I'm not going to tell you. You can't have her. You can't take her back. And my dad said, a very stern voice, I'm gonna whip you if you don't tell me where she is. And I said, I don't care. You can beat me. I'm not gonna tell you where she is. And my mom knew that wasn't working, so she leaned down and she said, I need to know where she is. She needs to go home to see her mama. And I said, she doesn't have the right to see her anymore. She said, but she has to go. That's why the policeman's here. And if you don't let her go, then we'll get in trouble. My heart sank. I couldn't imagine what life that she was going to face. And I slowly walked over to the closet and opened the door, and there she was, big eyes, looking at me and smiling. And I was turning her back into the wolves. I was so mad. I was so angry. I was angry with my parents. I was angry with the policeman. I was more angry with her mother. I took her by the hand and I hugged her. I held her tight. And I said, "You're going to go see your mama." And she said, "My mama." Of course, she was excited. She's a kid. She loved her mom. And I couldn't turn loose of her. They pulled her out of my arms. And I stood there, feeling empty and angry. So disillusioned with what was right and what was wrong. And I watched her leave. I watched the police car leave, and I never saw her again. Never. And I've often wondered how she did. Did she grow up? Did she make it? Is she doing okay today? It's rare that I don't think about her. And I wonder, is she even still alive? I never had a little sister after that. Never had a little brother. And I don't think I ever completely got over that. All for the love of a little girl.